You're listening to Atlanta Baseball Talk, your weekly podcast for all things Atlanta Braves.
Welcome to Atlanta Baseball Talk, show number 400, which we are celebrating with no special guest and getting swept by the Giants.
Yes. In the face.
Yes. Thanks for listening. And go Braves. And that's
today's
our show.
Sunday. Yes. Today is Sunday, May 6th, 2018. And my name is Steve. I'm joined by both Hammy and Kurt.
A celebration folks, in itself.
Yes, exactly. Yes, all three of us. My God, it's a party.
Yes.
So, folks, please help out the podcast by spreading the word. Subscribe, write a review, share links on Twitter and Facebook. We would really appreciate it. All right, so, guys, in tonight's show, we'll discuss the sweep at the hands of the Giants, the arrivals of Mike Soroka, Jose Bautista, Folty's start, and much, much more. But first, a quick break. All right, so headlines this week start with the tale of two series. So after sweeping the Mets, amazing starting pitching from Soroka and Newcomb, and then topping it all off, Tehran, dominating Matt Harvey so thoroughly that the Mets had to get rid of him. The Braves come home to SunTrust Park, a game and a half in the lead in the East, and promptly get swept by the Giants that were 16-15 when they arrived in Atlanta. And it was a weird series, right? Really sort of uneven to bad starting pitching from all of our pitchers. The bottom third of the rotation stopped hitting, particularly Ender. Yeah. Acuna couldn't buy a hit the first two games, despite how hard he was hitting the ball. Ham, so let me ask you this, right? A lot of hand-wringing on Twitter. Has this changed your opinion about the team at all?
No. I mean, the team was overperforming, I think, in a lot of ways, but you're going to have weekends like this with any team. Coming off of a very heady sweep of the Mets in New York, and maybe getting a little heady yourself, you're a good team like the Giants will catch you, you know, and I think they just, it was a hiccup, but I don't think that means that all the stuff that happened before this was not real, you know. We're going to struggle. It's a long season. So I don't know. I'm not worried by it. Are you?
No, not at all. Yeah. Look, like I said, I mean, this was all really dictated by the starting pitching. You had Folty's meltdown in the second inning. Brandon McCarthy gave up a career worst number of earned runs.
Yep. And he's going to do that, right? From time to time,
right?
He's going to do that. Yeah.
Yeah. He's 105, and
exactly.
That's going to happen.
Yep.
And Soroka, who, I mean, we're going to talk about Soroka in a minute, but Soroka just didn't have the command that he had in his first start, and it's going to be uneven because he's 20 years old, and, you know, and then sort of the rest happened. I mean, the Giants seemed to take advantage of how aggressive the Braves had been early in counts, really on first pitches. The Braves, I mean, all weekend were sort of fighting uphill because they were down 0-1 in every at-bat, and it just was one of those series. But no, I really have no worries about this at all. Curtis?
Well, and the Giants' record might not be great, but I think they're like 11-3 in their last 14 games or something like that. So they clearly have been playing much better. When you saw it set up and you saw that Cueto and Bumgarner were not going to be starting, you felt better about the opportunity that presented itself with this series. And we sort of touched upon this, and you guys, or at least Steve, you didn't sort of think so, but I think there might have been some tightness. I personally, you come home, there's these huge crowds, they're getting tons of press about how great they are. You can't think that some of that didn't go to their head too. The Ender situation, he went 0-10 or something in the series or something like that. I wonder if they're going to get rid of the him batting ninth experiment here soon. But they were saying that he is really pressing. Like he is a perfectionist. And so there's almost concerns about the fact that he is such a perfectionist that especially batting, you can't be a perfect batter. I mean, you know, the old saying, you, if you get 3 out of 10, you're in the Hall of Fame. So that it might be weighing on him too much and that there's actual concern about that with him. So, Yeah, I mean, it's one of those series. It's obviously disappointing, especially the way they were playing. At the end of that road trip, obviously, you know, it was easy to forget about how bad they looked in Cincinnati. But, yeah, I mean, it's a young team. These things are going to happen. And like you mentioned, the aggression, they work that against the Braves. And the Braves are going to have to make adjustments to that. That's clearly something they're going to have to deal with going forward, is that they've been scouted that way, that they're aggressive batting. So, yeah, let's not sweat too much about it.
Kind of amazing that on Friday morning the Braves were 1.5 up and they lose 3 straight games and now they're 1 up. I mean, they lost half a game.
Yeah,
and the Mets.
And they're still up. I mean, and that's why I don't worry about the Giants series too much. We're in first place in the East. And we're, you know, 30 games in.
And the Mets are falling apart.
Yeah, and I mean, the Nationals are going to come back, but it doesn't matter. Like, at any point during the season, it's, you know, and well-earned, well-deserved, playing fundamentally good baseball in a lot of different areas. So it's heady times, and certainly, like you said, Steve, the Giants series puts a little bit of a damper on that, but it shouldn't put too much of a damper on it.
Yeah. All right, so in a bit of a surprise move, particularly given the good news we'd heard about Tehran's side session last Sunday, Mike Soroka did get called up and got the start in New York last Tuesday in Game 1 of the Mets series, and was as dominant as really, I mean, more than I could have imagined. 6 innings, 1 earned, no walks, 5 strikeouts. And then he got a second start in the final game against the Giants on Sunday, and it was not as great, 4 earned. 4 innings, 3 walks, 3 strikeouts. So, Kurt, your overall first impressions of Soroka?
Obviously, greater than we could have possibly imagined. So impressive. One thing I noticed is that he's pitching. He's going to have to sort of learn to pitch less to contact. I was just looking at some stats here, and the percentage of strikes that were missed was only 16.3%. So he's getting a lot of contact. So he's going to have to work on, you know, putting guys away when he can, making them miss balls more than putting them in play constantly, because it's the same with a pitcher. You can get BABIP to death, you know.
And on Sunday he had terrible luck. I mean, there was a lot of soft contact against him on Sunday in the Giants game.
It's amazing. It's so impressive, and it's so exciting that you have the 3 youngest players in Major League Baseball playing for the Braves, but it's not like gimmicky. They're all completely deserved to be here. They all
make us better.
And this is so exciting that now the pitching wave is coming. Austin Riley just got moved up to AAA. So, I mean, it's just so much fun watching all these waves of players. And frankly, the talk of Manny Machado, of trade for Manny Machado, everything I see is like, if there's a one move an MLB team needs to make, it's the Braves need to trade for Manny Machado. I'm so much more interested in seeing what we have coming forward from within our own farm system when it's these guys than giving up 4 or 5 of these guys to go get Manny Machado. Not that Manny Machado is not an amazing player, but
wouldn't it sort of be awesome to have Manny Machado?
Yeah.
Sure. Right. And then sign Bryce Harper in the offseason.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, before I get back to Soroka, I just want to say, Kurt, just talking about the excitement, I went to the game Saturday night, and, you know, obviously at the top of the game, they introduced the starting 9, and it just floored me, like seeing it just I just didn't recognize the team in a really great way.
Yeah.
Like, to be so excited about the lineup as they're announcing it at, you know, 7:05. It's just incredible. I know I'm being very articulate about it. It was it's just exciting in a way that this team has not been exciting since we started the show in 2007. I mean, so much more exciting than Hayward, frankly, and more exciting than the Upton brothers. I mean, it's just like, this is something special.
Yeah.
So, Ham, thoughts on Soroka?
No, I share a lot of what Kurt said. Now my dog's going to my dog loved Soroka, but
A little upset about Sunday's start, but tell her it's going to be okay.
Yeah, Sunday start, you're going to have those starts, though. I mean, I think the Giants were much more patient down in the zone, and he just missed on some pitches that he was getting against the Mets. I mean, he just looks so amazing against the Mets. And that's just, you know, he's going to have those games, much like we talked about earlier. He's going to have an amazing start, and as he learns to and develops, he's going to have some bumps like he did against the Giants. He still, you know, had the best start of any of our starters against the Giants all weekend, so there's something to that.
That's true.
And he looked so amazing on Tuesday night against the Mets. It was just so exciting, and just – watching the broadcast, Chris Rietsma is this sort of mentor, you know, is having his family there. So I just also feel like he's got a really stable background. I think he is going to be, you know, he's going to be an all-star. I just believe it.
The one thing that I'd
like to throw in is that he there was talk of him coming up and just having that start. And then once Sanchez is healthy, he'd be back. But it sounds like I read something where now Sanchez is going to the bullpen for long relief, and Soroka is here to stay for the short term. I mean, you know, unless something goes wrong, which is absolutely the right move. It would be ridiculous to send him down so that Anibal Sanchez could pitch for us.
Agreed. And one, I'm a little surprised. I thought that was going to happen. But two, late Sunday, you know, DOB and Bowman reported that Snitker said, yes, he's getting his next start. And then Bowman also tweeted, Snitker didn't come out and say it, but you could tell that Soroka is not being sent down. So Soroka is here to stay in the starting rotation, which is just great. And I mean, my God, his mechanics are so quiet and so smooth, and his whole like supernatural calmness in New York. I mean, it's only going to benefit him. I really just can't wait to watch him pitch every 5 days.
Yeah, and he's got the four seam fastball and the two seam fastball, and just he will overpower people. He's like Smoltz, and his slider. He gave up a homer to Cespedes on a slider. It was somewhat effective, and he can throw it to both sides of the plate. You know, righties and lefties. So as he masters that pitch even more, he will be dominant. He will be Smoltz like.
Yeah, and he was so dominant in AAA, back to that. Yeah. There would have been no point in sending him down. All right, so guys, the other big call-up news of the week was Jose Bautista. So after slashing 400, 526, 667 with a double and a homer in his last, what ended up being his last five games with Gwinnett, Anthopoulos had seen all that he needed to see, and Bautista was inserted as the starting third baseman in game one against the Giants. So in his first three games with the Braves, Bautista has gone 3-for-10 with a double, two strikeouts, and two walks. He was in the 6-hole when Suzuki started and in the 5-hole when Flowers was the catcher. So, Ham, since you asked me to deliver that handwritten fan mail in crayon to the bullpen that you did this weekend, I thought we'd start with you. What did you think so far?
Well...
And I thought it was a very nice sentiment. Adam.
Yes, thank you.
Very nice stuff.
I think that he, I obviously was pulling for him a little bit more than you guys were, to put it mildly.
To put it selfishly, yes.
I think, to be fair, you guys had legitimate concerns that he could be a chemistry killer or a momentum killer by, you know, we were clicking on all cylinders. And why throw him in?
And then we went 0-3. Is that where you're going?
I don't think he contributed to that. I don't think. No, I mean, listen, the offense was the offense. I don't think. I'm glad they didn't put him fourth in front of Markakis, because I think Markakis is on a roll, and that would have been disruptive. But I think, you know, he didn't help the Braves win any games, but I don't think he lost any games for the Braves. I mean, I think he showed well. And especially with Swanson injured, Dansby injured, and being able to put Camargo at short, I think he was productive. I think it was a very positive debut for him against the Giants, even though we didn't win the games.
So I want to say a couple things. One, my concern about Bautista was never about the chemistry thing. And I think that all of the – of course, it's the vocal majority on Twitter – but all the hand-wringing about the chemistry thing, I think, is really silly. I really do. To me, it's more does the 37-year-old bring any you know value to a team that was leading the league in offense?
Mm-hmm.
And he played serviceable third base, right? He's here to provide more pop. We need to see if he's going to do that. And so long as he's not a black hole in either of his roles, you know, we'll see what he can do and continue to trust that Anthopoulos will not let it go on longer than it needs to if he's not really doing what he's here to do.
So at what week in will you apologize to him publicly? And his mother.
When he hits his seventh home run.
Okay.
And if it's before the end of May.
What if it's 2019?
Yeah. Yeah.
You said, well, you'd apologize. Seventh homer. Got it here. Got it. Next question.
Curtis, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, you guys basically covered it. And I'm willing to bet, Steve, to your point, that he and Anthopoulos sort of probably have an agreement that if he is not playing well, that he will hang it up, go away. Personally, I think that that's probably the agreement that they have. So, yeah, I mean, he wasn't terrible, and I was joking. I mean, obviously, he had nothing to do with the fact that they went 0-3. If they had gone 3-0, and he had those numbers, it would have been the exact same response. He had no control over it one way or the other. So, yeah, I mean, I want to, you know, we'll see how far it goes. It works out better that Swanson, I mean, not that Swanson got hurt, but that we're not watching Camargo sit on the bench so Jose Bautista can play, because I think I might have a bigger issue with that. Just let Camargo play. But obviously it worked out accordingly that Swanson's on the 10-day DL and Camargo can move over to short. So yeah, whatever.
Yeah. It's Camargo and they announced Sunday after the game that Bautista will be the DH in Tampa. So I assume Flaherty gets the starts at third base. Camargo stays at short. You get Bautista in the DH. It is sort of the first DH of any significance that the Braves have had in interleague play in 20 years. My goodness. All right, guys, next up, fair or foul, where you agree with something fair or disagree with it foul. So as Folty was giving up six runs in the second inning of Friday night's game against the Giants, all his bad body language was on full display. So this is not a new topic. His being able to get control of his emotions has been a topic since he arrived in Atlanta. So, Kurt, fair or foul, the topic of Folty's emotions are still a valid concern.
Well, I'll just say fair right off the bat. His comments after the game, this is a quote from him. He says, "If emotions get the best of me, man, I'm a freaking pitcher. I'm out there trying to win a game," which is great if you stop there. But then he says, "If emotions get the best of me, so be it." Wrong.
Yeah. No, Kurt, it is exactly the thing I put in my notes to read. It was that exact quote, because it's insane.
Yeah, you can't say that last part, because you're the pitcher and you have to keep it under control. Whatever pitcher, whatever we've seen, Maddox, Glavin, Smoltz, I mean, we can talk about all those guys. And Smoltz obviously was the most fiery one, to the point where he had to see a sports psychologist. And maybe we should call up Dr. Llewellyn and get Sirocco on the phone. I mean, Fulton Evans on the phone with him. But I know we've beaten this drum to death, but you have to, as a starting pitcher, you have to keep your emotions in check. I mean, that's just part of the whole process.
Yeah,
and for
so
us
you
to
can
be
perform.
Now, yes, and for us to be however far we end into his career now, that he still thinks that it's okay for his emotions to get lost, it's disturbing.
And yeah. So it was another really sort of obvious display of it Friday night. But then Saturday I was on Twitter and I saw Folty responding to people on Twitter, and all of his responses were, "You sound like my dad." Literally, "You sound like my dad. Get off my back. He's on me too." Which I was like,
"Oh, good.
You don't sound like you get it at all."
And what did you see? Apparently, like, after he couldn't get the second bunt down and people were booing him, he made some hand motion to the fans.
Yeah, now, I wasn't watching. But
I'm assuming they would make it more clear if he had flipped the finger. I'm assuming he was just giving the disdain, whatever. But again, to your point and to my earlier point, don't do any of this stuff.
And I don't get it. Like I need to keep reminding myself that the responses I see on Twitter don't really reflect reality. But I got people piling on me when I made that comment about when I tweeted about Fulte not getting it. A lot of get off his back, stop being an armchair psychologist, look at his ERA, he's totally fine. I don't know how people are not concerned about this. I mean, it's not always going to be success. And if you can't handle success and that impacts how you perform, it's a problem.
Hmm. Especially when you have a degree in armchair psychology.
I even got a response. Now you sound like his dad.
Oh, geez.
Which was great. Hammy?
Which is sort of true.
We should let people know now, Steve, you are Fulte's dad. Let's just get it out there.
So I guess we should have said that sooner than just now.
Yeah, it does sort of thing.
It feels a little late in the game to disclose it.
Steve Fulton Evans, it just rolls off the tongue.
I skew a little more foul than you guys do. I mean, I think obviously he has a hard time controlling his emotions, but I think over the arc of a season, I think it may disrupt him game to game, like a game here or there, but I don't think it disrupts him every start. I think he pitches bad, then he loses his composure, he pitches worse, but then I think he puts it behind him, and I still have a lot of confidence that he's going to come out in his next start and give us our next two or three starts and roll off a series of dominant starts.
But he's so young.
I just want to say, so I think that he's going to have these stretches. And I think if you take away and you try to eliminate these type of outbursts, you also sort of eliminate what makes him such an electric starter. And I think he's getting better. But I think when he pitches bad, I think he is more good than he is bad, right, for the Braves.
And 100%.
I think that percentage is increasing over as he matures. But when he's bad, he's bad. And all this happens. And he doesn't handle it very well. But I don't think that has lasting impact over how he is developing and maturing and getting better as a starter. I don't think it's something we should be worried about in terms of is it going to impact his ability to be a very productive starter for us. Be a number one starter for us.
But, Ham, there's times when guys don't have their best stuff.
But look at Roger Clemens.
And they can still win those games. They grind those games out.
But, now,
Fulte...
Yeah, okay.
But if Fulte cannot do that when he doesn't have his best stuff, which we know is amazing when he has it and he's on, but if he can't win games when he's off a little and it throws him... that sort of is a problem because you're not going to have your best stuff every single time.
I just hope sometimes
you go out and you get hammered and that's fine.
Yeah, but so
you can't
I'm thinking
give up those three extra runs because you lose your grip on the game.
Hopefully those happen more infrequently is all I'm saying.
Well, sure.
You know, and I think I think when he has those bad starts, Kurt, he's definitely prone to getting in that vicious cycle of losing his cool and then, but I think those will happen fewer and far between.
And Ham, look, in support of your position, right? He gave up six in the second and then pitched three scoreless innings.
Right.
So did he just get it back under control and that was all good? Did he give up more runs in the second than he would have if he had kept his composure? I mean, we don't have the answers to that question.
You certainly would like him to keep his cool more, you know, but yeah, I would agree there. But I think foul, I don't think it's a topic that should concern us, you know, overly about how productive he will be for us.
All right. Well, Hammy, you get off my lawn and start worrying about Fulte some more, would you?
All right, Mr. Fultonevich.
All right, guys. Next up, we'll look at the weeks that Acuna, Albies, and Dansby had. But first, a quick break. So first up, Acuna. In his first full week in the majors over these six games, he was 7-for-27 with a double, a homer, no walks, and five strikeouts. He did have some rough luck. I think we mentioned this at the top of the show. In his first two games at SunTrust Park, and then got two hits in Sunday's finale. So, you know, I'd like him to go 15-for-30 each week, but I guess that's not going to happen all the time.
Send it back down. Send it back
down. Yeah, exactly. So next up, Dansby Swanson had a rough week landing on the 10-day DL for a sore wrist. He was pulled mid-game in New York in the second game of the series. It was supposed to be day-to-day when they pulled him, but maybe, I mean, look, it's sort of hard to say it's good news, but maybe the wrist thing explains some of his drop-off after that red-hot start.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
he was really bad over his last like 12 games or something. Like,
yeah, the week leading up to the week of the Mets series, he was, yeah, I mean, he hit like 100. Mm-hmm. But the 3 weeks before that, he was killing it. So hopefully it really is an injury thing. So he ended up only getting six at bats, getting two hits. And then Ozzie remained in the leadoff spot all week. He went 7-for-28 with a double, a home run, five Ks, and no walks. So, you know, our batters in the 1 and 2 spot, Albies and Acuna, drew no walks this week. It's exciting and dynamic to have them at the top of the order, but it is something to watch. They are not high OBP guys.
Would you move Ender back up there?
Oh, Ender's not a high OBP guy.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not even saying this because, like, there's, you know, I mean, Markakis is the highest OBP guy. Do you want Markakis leading off?
No.
I mean, I've actually suggested it in the past. I don't think there's really straightforward way to construct this lineup. I love the two of them up there and getting the most at-bats. It's fine. But it's, you know, it's going to be something that if the offense continues to stall and they're not getting on base and Freddie doesn't have guys in front of him, et cetera, it could become a conversation.
Yeah. I just, the one comment I'd have on all those guys, other than hallelujah, and I hope Dansby gets well soon, is that I love that Acuna looks so good on the road at Philly and on the road at the Mets, right? I mean, division rivals on the road and just destroying them.
Yeah.
I like that in a young guy.
Yeah.
To do that, you know? So that was, I thought that was a great way to start his career. And obviously, just like everything, we're going to have these lulls. And he, you know, he hit a stretch where things caught up to him a little bit. But he looked, you know, he bounced back today, certainly.
And really, you know, those first two games against the Giants that he went over, the exit velocity on a good number of his hits were insane. You know, I mean, Saturday night there was like 112 this, 110 that. Like, these are top exit velocities on the team and in the league.
Yeah.
Like, he's scorching the ball.
He scorched one to Longoria that almost took his head off, that Longoria made the play on. Absolutely, I think, on Saturday night. Just crazy, crazy. I can't imagine anyone making that play.
Yeah. All right, guys, next up is Shot in the Dark, our crazy predictions for the week that just concluded. And we'll begin with our listener Shot in the Dark from Kyle Eaton, who predicted that in Soroka's debut in New York, Soroka would get the win and go 6 innings, 3 hits, 1 earned, 1 walk, 6 strikeouts. Soroka's final line was 6 innings, exactly, 6 hits, so 3 more than Kyle had predicted, 1 earned, exactly on, 0 walks, Kyle had predicted 1, and 5 strikeouts to Kyle's prediction of 6. So, Kurt and Hammy had to convince me.
You hard ass.
But Kyle, congratulations.
Woohoo! We're
absolutely giving you that one. Very nice work, particularly hitting the innings and the earned runs exactly. The Atlanta Baseball Talk koozie is on its way to you. We will DM you on Twitter and get your mailing address. All right, so let's see how the three of us did. So, Ham, your shot in the dark last week was so convoluted, I stopped writing it down. So I'm handing this off to you.
All right, so I said the Braves starters would beat the Mets starters in ER and Ks, strikeouts, but that the relievers, the Mets would give up fewer runs and walk less batters than we did. So I was half right. So our starters gave up 1 earned run in the 3 starts against the Mets starters of 9. And we had 19 Ks to the Mets 12. So I was right there. But the relievers totally showed up against the Mets. The Mets relievers gave up 12 runs. Ours gave up one run. And we had one walk over three games to the Mets three. So I happily blew that one.
How about, I don't know if you guys saw on Sunday, DeGrom, they ended up putting him on the DL.
Oh, really?
It's just, yeah, what a travesty going on there. All right, Curtis, you predicted that the Braves would hit 10 home runs and steal 12 bases. The Braves hit 7 home runs in New York, no stolen bases. The Braves hit 2 home runs in the Giants series, no stolen bases. In fact, there were no attempts against San Francisco. During the course of the Met series, they got caught stealing once and picked off twice. Mm. So, Kurt, you were almost there on the home runs, 9 home runs for the week, no stolen bases. All right, and my prediction was that Dansby would bounce back and definitively not go on the DL. I also that he would hit over 325 with at least 2 extra base hits. So not to be, DL stint, 2 singles in 6 at-bats. All right, so for the first week of May, big zeros for the all three of us. So let's see if we can do better. Hammy, what do you got predicted for this coming week?
I think the Braves over 6 games this week will score 38 runs or more.
So all right.
Average over 6 runs a game.
I like it. I like it. Curtis, what do you got?
Well, I was thinking about going, the Braves go 6-0 this week, but I wasn't quite that confident. So instead, I'm going with our two young starters, Newcomb and Soroka. I say they collectively go 3-0 this week. Newcomb has 2 starts, give up 6 earned or less combined over the 3 starts, and strike out 22 batters combined over the 3 starts.
All right. Excellent. And I am going all in on Bautista this week. So Bautista, I'm predicting, will hit 3 home runs this
even
week.
Even though you hate him.
Well, you know, look.
Never forget, Steve is mad.
So 3 home runs this week for Bautista. 2 of them will be hit in Tampa. All right, folks, remember that you get to play 2 each week. Don't forget to get your shot in the dark in before first pitch on Tuesday this week, before the Tampa Bay series starts. Get them in on Twitter. If we pick yours, we'll discuss it on next week's show, and you could win an Atlanta Baseball Talk koozie if you hit it. All right, so guys, let's look at the week ahead. 6 games this week, all back on the road. 2 at Tampa for the first interleague set of the year, and then 4 at the Marlins for the first matchup, strangely, with the Marlins this year. So let's look at the matchup. So Newcomb will face Blake Snell on Tuesday in his 255. Then Tehran goes against Ryan Yarbrough and his 333. So Tampa Bay's kind of starting pitching is not terrible. Like, their ERA is like 8th in the AL, and their batting average against is like 6th, and their whip is in the top half. Like, you know, they're not pushovers. On to Miami. Folty will face Caleb Smith and his 367. Next up, Brandon McCarthy faces off against Dan Straley and his 675. Soroka gets Jarlin Garcia, sporting his 109 ERA. And then closing out the week, Newcomb will face Jose Urania and his 428. So some pretty decent ERAs the Braves will face this week, but certainly not 2 incredibly strong teams in Florida. So, Curtis, what do you got the team going this week?
Well, I was not confident enough to go 6-0, but I am confident enough to go 5-1. Sweep Tampa 3-1 against the Marlins, who have actually been playing much better as of late, but I still like the Braves on the road.
Hi, Hammy.
Nice. We lost Ham.
Ham is
I was speechless. Sorry. I'm making sure my dog wanted to, again, chime in. I say 4-2. I was thinking 5-1, but I, as you said, Curtis, the Florida has been pitching well. So I think we sweep the Rays and then split in Miami.
Yeah, I've got 4-2. I'm going split in Tampa and then 3-1 against the Marlins.
All right.
All right, and that is the show, folks. Please remember, you can find us at Blog Talk Radio, Blog Talk Radio, as well as iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and Spreaker. And as always, you can find us. You just love Spreaker, don't you, Hammy? It's what you
like. I feel like we're just making these up.
That was Kurt. Kurt likes Spreaker. I like Wadio. I like Blog Talk Wadio. It's my favorite one.
As always, you can find us at AtlantaBaseballTalk.com to access our old shows, to post in our comment section, and also be sure to follow us on Twitter at ATL Baseball Talk and to like us on Facebook. Thanks again for listening, and go Braves!
Thanks for listening to Atlanta Baseball Talk, your weekly podcast for all things Atlanta Braves. To find new shows, to post in our forum, or to send a comment, please visit us at AtlantaBaseballTalk.com.
Had to admit the problem.